Welcome to episode 68 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is January the 12th, 2012. My name is Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my electronics-consuming brother, James Furlough.
Hey, I'm here. And just so you guys know, I am following the games. So if you don't want any spoilers, you should probably find another podcast.
Yeah, especially live. So which? So when you say the games, there's obviously an important one. But
so there's the Denver and Baltimore currently playing. And
okay, that's not the important one.
I know, but well, I like the Broncos. Which are currently at a score.
Oh, what's the score?
Wait. 35-28. We already told everyone it's spoilers. So
I know. Wait. So who's 35?
Oh, the Broncos.
Oh, cool. That's right.
It's in
I guess
the fourth quarter, so it's getting.
I guess I should have been able to make that logical leap when you said it's a score I like, and then this team that's winning.
What okay. I was hoping to, you know, if I was subtle enough, or you, if you were on top of it, you're like, okay, got it. But it wasn't so, you know, like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. And then later on, the 49ers are playing the Broncos. I'm sorry, the Packers.
Yeah. No.
Later on, the 49ers are playing the Broncos.
I was going to say, the 49ers are beating the Packers. That's what's going to be going down.
Either way, both.
You know what's weird? Okay, so this is like
as the Broncos and we'll beat the Packers.
Exactly.
Say the same thing.
So this has absolutely nothing to do with technology, but it is interesting. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Packers.
I do know this.
He grew up near San Francisco, wanted to be a Niners all of his life, and Colin Kaepernick, the current quarterback for the Niners, grew up in Wisconsin and was a Green Bay fan growing up. So. And this is the first time that Aaron Rodgers will have ever played in Candlestick. And he's going to lose. That stinks for him. But anyways, we're not going to talk about sports this week much. This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology.
You got a little bit of a crackle going on.
Crackle?
I don't know why. It could just be me. My here, check this out. If I can get this out. My earbud, they last about a year. And so I don't know if you can see that, but the actual speaker part of it has detached from the base of the earbud.
Oh,
and
man.
So if I push it and I'm ginger, it stays on.
So
every time I take it out of my ear, it pops off.
What kind of a buzzing is it? Is it like an intermittent buzz?
No, it's every time you talk, I get a crackle. It's probably me. Don't worry about it. Sorry.
Okay. If I'm crackling, everybody, sorry. I don't know how to fix it. But, one second.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you there.
Yeah, so anyways, we're also not going to be talking about build quality of Apple earbuds. We'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. This is a particularly exciting week, because this happens to be the week of CES, Consumer Electronics Show 2013, but we will be getting into that after a short disclosure.
Oh, yeah. So, the disclosure is, I work for Hewlett-Packard. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
Nice.
Also, as a short disclosure, I actually figured out how to split the shows up into smaller segments and actually have it tweet out automatically after I post them, which is good. So
the lazy way.
Yes. And so at least for now, I think the baby steps of that process are good. So
yeah. So if you're somebody who's – I've always been like, I like the Furlough Bros, but I wanted a little more bite-sized pieces, guess what? We are going to be delivering and trying to make it awesome. So,
and I figured out how to do it in such a way where we don't have to do that little intermittent distraction thing each time.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, but, you know.
It gets old.
Also, so. I was going to say, not great. But anyways, so if you want to follow us throughout the week, James and I have personal Twitters. My personal Twitter handle is at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
Nice. We've got the show Twitter, which is at Furlough Bros, where we usually post stuff about the show, like, guess what, this week we're not going to be doing our regular time, and then And then the updated time, we didn't do that this week, but that was just sort of my fault. Because I had to mess everything up. Sorry. But if you want to follow that, that's a good place to go. But, of course, the central hub of our technology universe is furloughbros.com. We got the podcast there. We got all sorts of links there, videos, whatnot. So go check it out, see what's going on, and having fun. Have fun. Yeah, that's
cool.
Definitely. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Nice.
So let's talk about some tech.
Yeah, there we go. You know what? Okay, can I say something really quick? When you talk, it kind of buzzes a little bit when you talk too.
Awesome.
On my end. So this just might
be in the comments, it also says they can hear some buzzing. So it's buzzes all around.
Great. Okay.
just ignore it.
Well, it's easy for me to ignore because I can't hear myself buzzing. I feel bad for everyone else. Anyways.
It's not bad.
Okay, good.
I actually didn't notice it until I pointed it out.
So. Oh, that's good.
So now, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Perfect. we'll edit this out in post. So, tell me what's going on this week. You're up first. You have to bat first, buddy.
So I have bad news, actually, to start with.
Oh, no. That's bad news.
And don't worry, we'll get to CES in a bit. The White House has rejected plans to build a Death Star.
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. They're not willing to spend... Oh my gosh, what is this? It's $850,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
trillions.
1,000 trillions and then a million trillions.
Yeah.
850 million trillions.
Okay.
It's a lot of zeros. Perfect.
That is a lot of zeros.
So basically the idea, the proposal that was put, the petition, was calling on the federal government to secure resources and funding to begin construction of a Death Star by 2016. I love it. And the White House turned it down. This is really weird. I don't know why they would do that.
Did you see the official letter from the official response from them? Did you click on that link?
I think they said, I didn't see the official letter, but I do know they said, like, we don't have a Death Star, but we do have floating robot assistants on the space station.
That's true.
And
so,
a president who knows his way around a lightsaber and advanced marshmallow cannon. And the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is supporting research on building Luke's arm, floating droids, and quadrupled walkers. Quadrupled?
What? Yeah, what? I got you. So the official response, they start basically saying, we're not going to, the administration shares your desire for job creation, strong national defense, but a Death Star isn't on the horizon. Here are a few reasons. Number one, the construction of the Death Star has estimated to cost more than $850 million trillion. We're working hard to reduce the deficit, not expand it. Point number two, the administration does not support blowing up planets. Point number three, why would we spend countless taxpayers' dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship?
Yes.
Which is amazing that that's the actual response from the WhiteHouse.gov. So, I mean, they got into it. So, which of course will only, you know, precipitate more ridiculous petitions and hopefully more funny responses. But you know what? That is a good point. Why would you build such a flawed superstation?
Yeah, pretty goofy. It's it's almost like you got to get a comedian to help you with that kind of response. You know,
because yeah.
This has to be goofy. I mean, yeah, it's just funny. So anyways, no Death Star on the horizon.
Seriously. Well,
at least no government-funded Death Star on the horizon.
SpaceX, baby. Yeah.
Which, so, I'll mention it. I know we promised we wouldn't. But SpaceX, you have to be a vegan, apparently, in order to get in on one of those Mars missions that they're planning. So,
oh, bummer.
Either I'm going to give up meat or I'm not going, obviously.
I'm
going to
give up meat. If it were a choice between giving up meat and going to Mars... If I can make it back from Mars, I'd give up meat. That wouldn't be too difficult. Well, it's a really good question. Like, how the heck would you actually get meat to Mars.
Oh, I get it. No, I understand. And it makes sense. I just... Really? You call yourself a man, and you would give up meat? You're pathetic.
To live on Mars for a while?
What kind of life is that?
It's a Martian life. That's what kind of life it is. It's amazing.
It's amazing. All right. Okay. You so, insist.
Anyways, so another short little news article before we get into CES, we like to tease, is IBM's Watson, you know, the robot supercomputer that...
It's pretty good at Jeopardy.
I think it can technically be considered a robot because it did have the actuator to press the button. So it had a mechanical aspect of it, which to me is really the only requirement to be a robot. Not the coolest looking robot, but probably the smartest. But it did.
Well, yeah.
It did compete against a human being on that one show, Jeopardy, and won. And so this article came out. Well, they're talking about part of the development process is human language is kind of weird, like being able to understand and respond.
I struggle all the time.
Exactly. So somebody came up with this really clever idea, which is basically how they taught it to speak was they give it a dictionary and they give it some it looks for different words to understand and then respond, and then I guess it actually based on the dictionary it can expand its vocabulary. Which is pretty cool. So it can use it, not only does it learn words and understand it, but it can also use them in conversation. So they're trying to figure
scary,
out.
Scary, but cool.
Yeah. So what it turns out is that, you know, most of the time, like, real dictionaries are the best way to go. But yeah. Sometimes when you don't have, like, a perfect dictionary, like, there's no such thing as a perfect dictionary because there's all sorts of words that we throw in there, like, wow, this is, like, this is tight. Or there's. And like, what does tight mean in modern vernacular? Well, there's no like dictionary definition to mean it means like you're saying cool and it's 1999. Whereas urban
dictionary, I'm reading this and it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So Urban Dictionary does have a definition for tight where it makes fun of you for saying that, but it's important. It's got to be able to understand. Yeah. And so what they said was it was really this kind of clever idea of you have this. Certain part of the language, modern vernacular slang, that is extremely fluid, has very little structure, and yet because of the Urban Dictionary and how it's built, there's a lot of structure to it. There's a bunch of definitions. So they basically uploaded the Urban Dictionary to Watson and added it to its complete dictionary of terms. Which was cool because now it could understand some really ridiculous questions. It could
totally.
It was very comfortable with people, but the problem was, like I mentioned earlier, the words that it learns, it can then turn around and use in conversation. And they said that basically when it started, responding to questions by researchers using terms like bull-ass, they finally decided, okay, it's
these
time.
Swear words. That's funny.
We can't continue this. So they had to put a filter on it and basically delete a bunch of the swear words so that it couldn't use them.
Dude, how funny would that be on that first... I mean, I don't know if they saw it coming or not, but they were just kind of curious. Let's see how it does. And sure enough, boom, he's going to drop it.
Like, yeah, oh, man. I'll bet the first time you were sitting there, it was hilarious.
Totally.
It's like a little kid using swear words for the first time. You're like, you can't say that.
What? Where'd you learn that? Oh, yeah.
That's right. Andrew taught you everything in the Urban Dictionary. So very, very cool. I don't know. Pretty goofy. Pretty exciting.
Wow. Censorship at the machine level. That didn't take very long.
It begins. Right.
Really, just wait until Watson figures out what we did and decides to retaliate.
Exactly.
Clearly, you showed that censorship is okay. So let's just take this to the next logical step because I'm a smart computer. That's funny though.
Yeah. Thankfully, he doesn't have.
Taught it out of swear.
Right, he doesn't. Thankfully, he doesn't have very many mechanical parts that he can use against us. He'd have to press buttons to us to death.
Yeah, we don't live in Jetson time where that's all you got to do.
Right, exactly.
That's sad.
That we don't live in Jetson's time?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Just press a button. I mean, I'm pretty close already with a keyboard, but you know,
yeah, two,
just well, one.
That was some. That was nearly poetic there. I know. Anyways.